It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we're going to have some fun today. I mean, we'll make some news. Here we go again, because we can. We have, there is a three-way race for the Republican nomination, which means it's probably a guy that's going to be, you know, our U.S. Senator here. It's going to be John McCain, J.D. Hayworth, and a guy named Jim Deacon. Well, Deacon's messing up their little party. Because he's getting a lot of support, a lot of endorsements, you know, like Sheriff Max endorsing him and a lot of other conservatives that are well-known here. And it's causing them some consternation because in their minds, you have J.D. Hayworth is a credible, in their minds, you know, threat to McCain. Now, J.D. Hayworth, I know J.D. and John McCain both. I ran against John in 2004 as a Libertarian candidate. I went to church with J.D., and he was a news sportscaster here on a local affiliate. I think, whatever affiliate, NBC probably, I don't remember. And he then ran for Congress, and he really played the right-wing My Christian Brother kind of thing. He gets in, and then he lost to a liberal, Harry Mitchell, here that was a scum local politician in Tempe, Arizona, and city council, I think mayor, went on, whatever. I mean, I do my best not to know. It's amazing how much you can pick up by osmosis just living here. And when he lost, Clear Channel put him on as an afternoon talk show host. So for years, you know, he kept his base there. You know, he had the support of. And it's kind of, you know, common knowledge, everybody kind of anticipated he was going to go up against McCain. Now, this is the nominee of the Republican Party. Who in their right minds would think that he would have any support of La Machine to go up against McCain? Well, J.D. Hayworth is, raising and spending a lot of money. But you got to keep in mind, he was successful enough to get reelected several times to Congress. He had to have some special entry. He had to play the game somehow. You know, does he step up, step to the side, step back? What? And what's the freaking difference? And they're, you know, So, you know, here's this guy, Jim Deacon, comes in, starts going to the debates, and he's whipping their butt. You know, while they're doing the ouch, quit it, and you said, you know, he's sounding reasonable and, I don't know, what's the word, presidential, constitutional, something. And they're going, dang. So yesterday I get a call, and maybe we can expect the gentleman to call in today. Because yesterday I gave you Pastor Steven Anderson, after his not guilty verdict of him saying, nope, I'm not going to comply at a roadblock here in southern Arizona. And the gentleman wanted to know if Deacon had anything to do with Pastor Anderson. And I'm like, why? I mean, what difference does that make anyway? I mean, you know, but he's like, he's being kind of clandestine about it. He's not saying he's doing what? I go, what is the motivation for even asking this question? What is the, because Pastor Anderson is a fundamentalist kind of Bible, you know, thumping kind of, you know, radical, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, he made it easy for the left to come after him, regardless of what his other positions are, that he's, you know, takes a fundamental liberalist interpretation of the Bible. Well, some people like that. You know, that's cool. Yeah, whatever. That doesn't have anything to do with the proper rule of government, you know, as far as I'm concerned, unless you're advocating government do something for you. So I'm going, why would this matter? Well, of course, because they want Deacon to pull out of the race, endorse J.D., because in their polling, they're seeing that we might get McCain again because this guy is there. Well, you're confusing me with someone that trusts what the freaking computers say anyway. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, if he's got a voice, he's got something to say, let him go say it. Say it! And he's doing a good job. All of a sudden, they have some polls. He's up in like the, you know, split three ways. You know, you start breaking 15%, get 20%, all of a sudden you're a threat. So when he comes in, we'll find out what the latest polling is going to be. Like, I care anyway. Those are skewed, too. So when he comes in, we'll talk. You know, he'll be here at the top of the next hour. And we'll go ahead and give you a little look-see inside of Arizona politics. You know what I'll do? Oh, I've resisted this. I mean, you can't even turn on your TV. I just changed the channel. I don't think I've watched a full commercial. It's J.D. Hayworth and John McCain. I mean, tens and tens and dozens of millions of dollars going into, you know, he said, ouch, quit it. You know, it's like watching the episode of The Simpsons with Bart and Lisa. So I just can't take it because I know both of them. I know they're both full of crap. You know, John McCain was the biggest, you know, if you're into this immigration, stopping the border kind of deal, you know, John McCain, definitely not your guy. But, I mean, he's coming out. Oh, yeah. You know, it's McCain-Kyle plan. We're gonna you know, beef up the border. I go, good. Well, yeah. What you been doing before? And all the hoopla about all of this legislation that they write here, the SB10, it doesn't even say a word about the border. Heck, none of it's even left anymore except the national ID part after the court got done with it. So I'm just going, you know, what do you think the real goal is here? I don't know. Maybe Jim will have some. I'm looking forward to meeting him, just see what he has to say. And we'll grill him. You know, he was warned. You know, we'll go through the same thing. I'm going, all right, proper little government. You know, what's the relationship the state should be with the federal? You know, how much of my money are you willing to justify stealing? What about the war? What about immigration? What about? You know, we'll get some answers. Then we'll see how he holds up to that libertarian grilling. At least he's willing to. Well, that's cool. So we'll see what happens there. But one thing I definitely want to bring up, they just came out with numbers. You know, they're finally saying they're going to attribute a trillion, yeah, it used to be real money, $1 trillion to this war in Iraq. Well, you know that doesn't include all the VA budget they need for the 40,000 people maimed. You know that doesn't include, I don't know what else. You know, it's always a lot more than what they say. So $1 trillion? Okay, fine, let's say $1 trillion. You know, that comes down to, I just wanted to figure it out a little bit. Let's say $20 an hour. There's a lot of people out there, $20 an hour. Yeah, I'd like to make $20 an hour. $20 an hour would be cool, you know, especially if you didn't take half of it in taxes out. But you got $20 an hour. That divided into $1 trillion, that's 50 billion man hours. So 50 billion hours of somebody working for $20 an hour. You know, to do that. Well, okay, so let's try and figure that out. That's people working full-time for an entire year at $20 an hour and turned it all over to the government. That's $1 trillion. 25 million people working full-time for a year. Well, let's drag it out over 7 years. All right, it was 7 years we were there and so on. Well, that's, you know, 3.6 million people, you know, working full-time for 7 years for this war that got us what? So I remember doing this before when there was oil started hitting 60, 65. I mean, it was in the 20s. You know, I remember, you know, just earlier this decade, it was in the 20s. You know, so all of a sudden, you know, it doubles, it triples. Man, we hit the triple mark, you know, it was hitting $70, $75 a barrel. We were like, ooh, here she come. Well, what do we do? And I said, you know, this war is for what? Well, you know, of course, lobbyists would say, okay, it's oil. Now, that's why we care. I mean, I don't know why, you know, we got all kinds of atrocities and bad guys all over the world. But, you know, we're definitely, you know, interested where they got some oil. So I'm going, all right, so to go over there and get cheap oil, how much are we spending? So there were some, you know, barrels per year that we do and some math that was pretty easy. And he did it. And you know, how much is this going to cost and everything and the war and expense and yada, yada, yada. And it came out to about $137 a barrel over the $70 a barrel it was costing then. Over. Another $137. How are we doing on that? Still thinking you're getting cheap oil? Heck, man. Put in a 16-incher on the Exxon Valdez. Let Texaco have their own submarines. Why am I subsidizing them? Just raise the prices. Oh, then alternative energy becomes viable. Oh. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah! Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Well, you know, we're expecting Jim Deacon in for the next hour, and I guess, you know, I mean, do you really care? You know, I haven't even watched it. I just put it up here. It's a 30-second commercial on John McCain and Hayworth. That, you know, this might be of entertainment to you guys. Let's go ahead and see what they have to say. I'll go ahead and play it.
I helped author with Senator Kennedy comprehensive immigration reform and fought for its package not one but twice.
While John McCain was pushing amnesty for illegal aliens, J.D. Hayworth was introducing the Enforcement First Act to secure our border. John McCain talks tough on the border today, but what about tomorrow? Had enough? Endorsed by Sheriff Joe Arpaio, J.D. Hayworth is the consistent conservative who will secure our border.
I'm J.D. Hayworth and I approve this message because border security is national security.
You know, that's one thing that's interesting, too. They got Joe Arpaio on everything. You know, in fact, they have a lot of commercials. What they'll do is he'll be saying, you know, this guy here sucks and he stinks and he's bad and whatever and everything, vote Joe Arpaio. And the guy that he's slamming on's not even running for sheriff. You know, it's just they're like, you know, is that a campaign violation of something? You know, like I care, you know, they can do whatever they want. But so let's see if we got. You know, here, we'll just do another McCain flip-flop ad. We'll see how this goes.
Drug and human smuggling, home invasions, murder.
We're outmanned. Of all the illegals in America, more than half come through Arizona.
Have we got the right plan?
Plan's perfect. You bring troops, state, county, and local law enforcement together.
And complete the dang fence.
It'll work this time. Senator, you're one of us.
John McCain,
and I approve this message.
So you can see it's going back and forth. It's the immigration issue. Immigration, 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 immigration. The Republicans have beat that horse, man. It is the immigration issue. Well, here in Arizona, the economy is so bad, there's no more immigrants. They left voluntarily. And so wow, is this what it's going to be? It reminds me of the flag-burning amendment. You know, in 1988 is the first real election as a young adult with a family and so on. I'm paying attention. I was very disappointed. I mean, okay, I'll give it a what for. I'm getting serious, man. I'm watching the news and I'm flipping through the channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, CNN, PBS, you know. ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, HBO, CNN. I mean, just blah, 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 blah. Same five stories in the same order. So you're going to say, you know, I want to do Koppel, I want to do Brokaw, I want to do Jennings, I want to do Dan Rather. Which one's going to be my man? They were all the same. You know, you get McNeil Air NewsHour, maybe a little bit more in depth. It was the same stuff, you know, in the same, you know, two sides, if that's all there ever was, if you even get the second side. So I enjoyed the McLaughlin group, but that was just for entertainment because every now and then, you know, Buchanan slap them around. So I just learned I don't believe these guys. You just go and actually read what they're doing. What bills have they passed? What have they advocated? What did they write? What have they said? You know, I know both these guys, and I'm telling you, you know, I sure as heck don't want them in a position to rule over me. Oh, well, you got to pick one better over the you, really? You're trusting me? You think I trust the computer election vote fraud crap anyway? So I don't see them as the solution. I see you as the solution. You were always the solution. I've been doing this for 22 years. And from the beginning, it took me like 3 months before me to figure out what was going on. They eliminate competition before it starts. They are in control of the election laws. And I saw what was happening after I challenged 44 election laws all the way to the Ninth Circuit. Got all kinds of stuff changed and whatever, doesn't matter. Because I saw at the same time, which is the reason why, after understanding this, I ran for Secretary of State in 94 as a Libertarian. And we had a great slate. We had John Buttrick, which is now a Superior Court judge. He ran for governor. We had a great attorney, a guy named John Caro. He ran for Attorney General. We had Scott Granger that ran for U.S. Senate against Kyle, kicked butt. We had had the highest percentage third party in the nation. That record, you know, held until just recently. So I'm sure he's number two or three in the vote totals. There's percentages. And it was like, I don't know, 8% or something like that. But that was huge, you know, for a Libertarian. I was 8%, you know, of a statewide race for Secretary of State. They're like, what the heck happened? You know, I don't know. Told people how screwed up the election process was. And what they did is then I saw it coming with election fraud because they passed legislation. I was running against Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, running for Secretary of State. And their entire focus was the passage of this one bill that made it illegal for you to ever compare what the paper said with what the computer printout said. It was illegal. You couldn't just take the paper and just count it. Okay, now what did the computer say? Illegal. You had to run it through the computer program again. If you had problems, you're just out of luck, man. You just got to keep running it through till you get what you wanted. So you really think there's election fraud, Mr. Hancock? Absolutely. I got proof. Ooh, you know, the cameras zoom in and so on. I got proof. They passed legislation making it illegal for you to find out. I mean, how much proof do you need? 2004, enormous fraud comes out, done. 2006, I run for Secretary of State again with the whole campaign was big black sign, still voting, ? V in the voting was V for Vendetta. You're still voting? Do you get my point now? Are you still voting? Do you think you're going to be freed with your vote? Is that how it's going to happen? Do you have to go out and do violence? I don't think so. I think that's what they want. They, them, those. Who are they? There are those that just want to be left alone. Those that just won't leave them alone. They try and make it more complicated than that, and it's not. You know, so we have Mr. Deacon come in, I'm going to, are you a leave me alone guy? You know, what are you going to, because you're one of 100 senators and the most powerful known entity in the universe, save God, the United States federal freaking beat the crap out of everybody government. You know, I'm and it's especially their own people. And I'm going, so you're one of the 100 up there. You know, what can I expect? Because I remember I went to church with J.D., and in 1994, when he first ran for Congress, I was running the statewide race, Secretary of State, and he was running a congressional district that kind of gerrymandered all around, you know, it was a rural area. And we were in kind of central Arizona here. It's called Sun Lakes. It's a retirement community. And he's saying one thing, blah, 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 blah. Then we were up in Flagstaff, and it was an incumbent Democrat that had the seat. His name was Karen English. And he's running against her. And up there, totally different, 180 degrees, totally different principles saying that. And I'm going, look, my brother, you know, what the heck was that? I mean, it was just yesterday you were saying, you know, this other thing. You say, he goes, look, Ernie, you got to get in first. You get in, then you can fix it. You know, then you can do it. How many times have I heard that? Got the same thing from all these guys. Trent Franks, one of the congressmen here, goes in. He's the deciding vote in the prescription drug thing, Republican. What do you get out of that? Nice little Air Force One ride with the president to Las Vegas. They didn't want to go to Arizona because they knew it was going to happen. So, you know, and I'd known him. We went to church, too. We all went to the same church. I knew Trent well. Matter of fact, I sat at his the head table. He had 700-800 people in 94 when he first announced for Congress running. I knew him from church. I figured he's a good guy. You know, we, you know, libertarian support, you know, he's a friend. So I, you know, lended support just by, you know, hanging. I even gave him some money. He's the only politician I ever donated to. Only one. I was poor. A little bit every month, like 10 bucks or something like that. Then he gets in. What does he do? Prescription. Then we had John Shattuck. Same time he goes in 94 during the Republican Revolution. During then, what did Shattuck do? He's the one that brought back the TARP. National socialization economy isn't fascist when I do it. John S.S. Shattuck hammered him so much he decided not to run this year. So I don't have a lot of high hopes, but you never know. I might get surprised. We'll see what happens.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows.
Yeah, and everybody else, I hope. Can I just be left alone? Well, we're going to find out. You know, there's a gentleman, he has a chance to become U.S. Senator here, enough that they're freaked out. He's even in the race. And if you, you know, just superficially, if you watch a little bit of the debates, you know, somebody will send up a YouTube, put up on Freedom's Phoenix, you watch a little bit here, you skip through, you see, you know, I already know what the other two guys, you know, blah, 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 blah. You get them in, you go, hey, man, you know, it doesn't suck. Got some good people you respect as endorsements. All right. Now, are they going to count it accurately, be one of the top 100 guys on the planet spending money? Are proven U.S. Supreme Court justices and treaties and such? Yeah, they let that up for chance, do they? So, you know, and one of the things, of course, I'm going to have to ask about the budget, the deficit, the war, immigration. Let's see how this plays out. On Freedom's Phoenix today, on one of the top stories, is they're talking about, would the global economic rulers of the planet, would they really just take over the global economy, let it go down, let it drop, let it just evaporate? Would they allow that to happen? Don't they benefit from it being there? Would that be in their best interest? Well, heck yeah. They don't care. You know, if it, you know, they just pick up the pieces. Heck, they got all the TARP money. They're sitting there waiting for every, you know, deflation and pricing of houses and property and real goodies to go down to nothing. You want to know when the economy's really going is when you look around and you see how many people are selling their toys, boats, jet skis, motorcycles, recreational vehicles. I remember when I was just starting, my wife and I just starting our businesses and so on in the mid-80s with some friends. They had their own business. We had our business guys from high school I knew, and we were still friends and our wives, and we'd hang on the weekends and stuff. And we started making money, and we're going, whoa, who the heck are we working for? You start hitting the tax thing, I mean, dang, especially, you know, I tell you what the big realization was for me when I first started filing taxes as a business is I didn't know. Nobody told me. You know, you find out that when you pay Social Security and you're self-employed, you pay your side of it and the employer's side of it. So when you're self-employed, you're paying double Social Security. I go, whoa, man, you should have let me know about that. I would have dealt more in cash, you know what I mean? So I'm going, okay, so it's like that. All right. Then there's other stuff. And then the tax laws kept changing. They kept getting more and more and more and more and more. I'm like, who the heck am I working for? So one of my friends, he goes, he was the best man at my wedding, Russ. He goes like this. He says, Ernie, I talked to the accountant guy about this. He's screaming and complaining. And the accountant told him, this is in the, probably 86, 87. And he goes, I'll tell you when the people will revolt. It's when they can't go to the lake anymore. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Well, here in Arizona, you have the highest per capita boat ownership. And you wouldn't think so. We don't have an ocean, but we do got quite a few big lakes and reservoirs and so on. But it's so freaking hot. So, you know, a lot of people have boats. I mean, it's not like everybody, but I mean, you know, it's more than, say, Florida or California. I mean, that's surprising. You know, it's more than, say, you know, Big Lakes or Mississippi River or whatever. Here in Arizona, man, we like our water. So there's a lot of boats here. So the point he was making, he's going, when they can't afford to decompress, because going out on the lake, you know, it's very relaxing. I mean, it just, you know, clears your cortex clean when you're out, you know, going up Canyon Lake out in the canyon, and you're just away from everything. Well, he's going, when they can't go to the lake, when you can't afford the gas, when you can't afford the insurance, when you can't afford the boat, when you can't afford, when you get to where you're having to work on the Saturdays to even be able to pay for the boat, you don't have the time to go. When that happens, then the people will react. Well, not if you amp up a little additives in the water, maybe. give them a little extra here, a little lithium. Yeah, that'll calm the population. But would they, you know, the big bad guys, would they allow this economy to just go down? Well, the story today, the gentleman says, he writes under a pseudonym, so I don't even know who it is. But he goes, yes, international banks triggered the meltdown, but the greed of capitalism, is that, you know, truly to blame? You know, is it all Republican Party's fault? First off, if you're parroting the fiscal debate points of two-dimensional socialist gatekeepers like Michael Moore, then you're already hopelessly lost in the mind-warping hedge maze of the false left-right paradigm. You should stay far away as possible from adult conversations on economics, especially if you plan on associating the greed of capitalism and corporatism with the Republican Party alone. Newsflash. Barack Obama received far more in corporate campaign donations, including donations from BP and Exxon, than McCain did. Both Bush Jr. and Obama increased government spending to record levels, meaning neoconservatives are in no way conservative, as a true Republican is supposed to be. Obama has consistently surrounded himself with banksters and corporate lobbyists, including various hobgoblins from the bowels of Goldman Sachs. Both major parties are owned and operated by global banks. This is a cold, hard, undeniable truth of our political system. There is no way around it. Learn it, accept it as reality, and stop trying to blame one side or the other for problems that both sides created. If you cannot do this, your view of our cultural state of affairs will always be horribly skewed, and your insights on our social problems will be utterly worthless. While wannabe socialists desperately clamor to point fingers at the free market ideology as the cause of all our ills, the fact is that none of us have ever lived in a truly free market system. Since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all markets and even our own currency have become more and more vulnerable to manipulation by the banking elite. We have lived our entire lives in a rigged market, not a free market. To blame the very concept of capitalism for our current dire circumstances is not only naive, it is dangerous. Globalists would like nothing better than to promote the illusion that too much freedom led us to this disaster and that severe controls must be put into place to ensure that it never happens again. Sound familiar? Sound ring true? You know, there was a gentleman I had on, I can't remember what his name was, Holloway or something like that. He was a professor at Boston, and Boston University, and he came on, and his whole thing was the promotion of passing this Wall Street regulatory reform, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, seriously, that's it? I mean, that's what you think the deal was? Do you think it was not enough regulation? Is that your answer? Is that your solution? Well, no, we got to rein in and do blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, did it ever occur to you that the social and economic engineering done with the legislation and tax laws and all this other stuff that created these big giant buckets of money they wanted to consolidate in pension funds and 401ks and IRAs, et cetera? Did it ever occur to you that that was just like delayed stealing? You know, at first it was stealing, then they put it in a bucket, and then they just say, oh, well, now it's ours now. And I go, as long as you advocate the creation of buckets of money, there will always be somebody that's going to take it, going to make it theirs. Are you willing to even contemplate, you know, the stop stealing from me? No. Heck no. No, 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 no. He went further. And then he goes, oh, yeah, you libertarians, you know, I got, you know, some of my best friends are libertarians. I got libertarian friends. I want to talk to you about libertarians. So he hooked up my producer with a gentleman that was using free market capitalist ideas and so on, trying to consolidate the 17,508 islands that is Indonesia. Indonesia is one of the largest Muslim communities. They make up about a quarter of the billion people that are Muslim. I think you have the area of, I don't know, a state. I mean, it's not even the size of, you know, I don't know, Arizona or something, Arizona, New Mexico or something, all the islands put together, and you got 240-something million people there. That's a lot. Now, you think we got overpopulation here, too many immigrants. I'm like, yeah, all right, go to Indonesia. So I'm going, okay, well, I just got to ask you some questions. You know, they're trying to, you know, bring consolidation and peace using the Quran to make people, you know, be nice. And I'm going, all right, I just got to ask you a question. Are you going to advocate force? Well, what do you mean? Oh, libertarian free market. I go, really? Okay, socially? I mean, what if somebody, what if it's, you got 17,508 islands. What if they want to go down to 17,507? Or one little island said, you know what? We're free out here. We're good. We declare independent. We're all done. So what's going to happen? Troops? What are you going to do? How can one of these islands just say, nah, we're good? Can they? Or is that not allowed? Oh. I go, I'll bet you there's some oil company that's a big funder of you guys, huh? Because they just found oil there. They need everybody, all the natives, to stop being restless. What was it? Yep. It was Chevron. Yeah, is it really a free market? No. Well, maybe we'll see what a prominent candidate for U.S. Senate here in Arizona has to say about it. We'll be right back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Headlong down the highway, and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping. And you can't stop rocking, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, headlong down the highway. Getting in trouble and whatnot. David Alpha in the house. You know, let me tell you what happened. I go to Pennsylvania covering the Valley Forge event, and I get back, and all of a sudden, across the whole side of the wall into the video studio in there, I guess that's the only place they had to put it up, and they got these 4x8 sheets of plywood. Well, they're coroplast, and they're vertically oriented so that you got this big 5x8 sign. It's like a billboard, okay? So I guess, you know, 5 times 4 is 20. No, it's more than 20 foot wide, isn't it? Well, okay, so it's 8x20. That's a big sign, okay? So I'm going, all right, somebody's going to get in trouble. You know, what are they doing? You know, so I look at it, and it has an elephant. The GOP insignia on the bottom left, that's probably like, I don't know, 3 feet by 4 foot. And then they have a donkey on the bottom right over there. And they have a slogan. Well, David, what does that say?
It says, creating tomorrow's problems today, your Arizona candidates.
And what is the point? And where are you going to do that? Why so big? What was your guys' plan on this? Tell me everything, because I know nothing.
This is a very important public service announcement. We're just simply reiterating the truth, and that is today's politicians, everybody who's running, has to be creating tomorrow's problems today. There's no other way around it. It's a factual statement.
So you're going to display this where?
Everywhere we can.
And you're starting when?
Tonight.
Where?
Paradise Valley.
Why?
Because we can.
And what's there?
There is a very big meeting called Politics on the Rocks. And there are some very big names that are going to come, and we want to greet them and welcome them with their own party logos. It's little names like John McCain, J.D. Hayworth, their attorney general candidates, Andy Thomas.
Well, you know who's coming in? Here in a little bit, Jim Deacon's coming in to be interviewed. So we'll find out some what fur on that one. That'll be interesting. We'll stick around until he gets here. I want him to see it. You know, I'm sure he'll be there tonight. He'll leave from here to go to there. But, you know, I'm just – and he's coming down from Prescott, so hopefully he's not having a problem. But and of course, we're hard to find, but my producer made sure he got instructions on how to get here. But what prompted you to do this? I mean, that looks like a project. That's a big freaking sign.
Right. And it was. And what was amazing about it more than anything is even though it was a lot of raw materials, the whole thing cost about $100.
Really? So, okay, so $100, you get a big billboard, you have some guys, are you going to put it together on something, or guys
nope,
holding it, or
no,
what?
No, just going to hold it. You're not going to, you know, we're not going to attach it or hang it up anywhere, because we know that as soon as we did, it'd be yanked down and grabbed and destroyed. So we're just going to use this as a couple different trade names for it, a freeway communicator, or a freeway blogging platform, you could call it, because if you just hop on an overpass and hold it up, you got yourself an instant billboard.
You know, you guys are just causing trouble, man. You know, one thing that's interesting is doesn't say a candidate. It doesn't. It's just free speech. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't even have a revolutionary insignia on it. But, so it's just you out there just stating a fact.
Well, you know, and the thing is, too, especially if you look back at the founders, polite and quiet citizens rarely make history.
Is that your goal?
Yeah.
Well, what is your goal? I mean, just to make get in the history books or accomplish something? What are you trying to accomplish?
It's just poking at them. It's just saying, we're calling you out. You know, we know, you know, that you're not our savior. You're not going to get in office and you're not going to fix everything. You're going to promise us up and down, left and right, you're going to do everything and give us candy and make everything pretty and there's going to be rainbows and unicorns. And we're saying, no.
How old are you?
I'm in my 20s.
So, I mean, you're pretty representative of a lot of the guys around here doing this kind of stuff. I mean, what motivated you? Why did you get off your butt and away from the Nintendo and come out and do anything? What brought that on?
Because it's fun.
You can get
points in a video game and play to your heart's content, but it's nothing compared to the complete smackdown of going out there and holding the sign like this.
Yeah, I am glad that you guys enjoy this. But a lot of people didn't, you know, the older people that I've been associated with in the 90s, they were looking for something else. They wanted to get the people to rise up, just like you, come out and do what they wanted you to do. And now you're out doing what you want to do, and these very same people screaming for the young people to get involved, they don't like it. I mean, when you go to a lot of these events and you have whatever message that you guys got, it's always a freedom message. It's just more freedom than whatever the heck it is they're advocating, and they're managed freedom. And doing that, I mean, do you get a lot of support on the street? Are people honking and support, or do you get people that are just soon you not be there?
I don't know how this is going to go over. This is the biggest sign we've ever made. This is going to be a new one for me, and we'll just see what happens. And I think it's going to be massive. I think we're going to have people honking and cheering, and I think it'll be a real good, positive event.
Well, I'm it didn't happen unless you what?
Unless you do it.
And? Videotape!
Oh, yeah,
dummy!
Yeah, of course.
Dummy, it didn't happen unless you videotape.
Saying.
Well, you better say it because, you know, these people don't know. I mean, a lot of the times you'll do this stuff and they'll go, well, there was only 20, you know, people there, or only 1,000 people. No matter how many people come, it's always only. And I go, yeah, so made a good YouTube. You know, I don't care. We had 50,000 people watching YouTube.
and I think that's the key, too, is we get wrapped up in numbers so much. And the truth is, you asked earlier if I represented the, you know, people who were doing things like this. Well, when I go out there and do something like this, this is the best way of me saying that I represent myself, and that if anything else, these people don't represent me. Even though they're my so-called elected leaders, if I don't vote for them, they're not my leaders.
I mean, do you want a leader? I mean, is that, you know, I got a leader. I picked a leader. I'm like, can I not? I just assume not.
You call me crazy, but I think that as an individual, I think I have my best interests at heart better than anybody else could ever understand. So I don't feel the need to be represented by anybody else.
Well, tell me some of the other activities and activist events and issues that you're involved in.
Oh, well, you know, all kinds of goodies, you know, just from the very least to just going out and videotaping other people's protests, even if it's, you know, on the line of something we do or we don't do, to, you know, fighting the surveillance state or raising awareness any way we can. You know, it's just basically keeping a video camera with you and just being ready to record when something happens.
And I want the audience to understand this. Multiply him times a gazillion. You know, I can't imagine they would be able to accomplish anything that didn't get videotaped from 5 billion different angles. You know, it'd have to be 2:30 in the morning on a weekday, Sunday morning at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Then maybe they might not have, you know, 14 cameras on it. So I'm glad you're out there. I'm hoping that you can make the point that you want, but we're in... God, it's this next Tuesday when the election is, right? Mm-hmm. For our primary here in Arizona. It's one of the last in the nation. It used to be middle of September. It was even later. And they finally moved it back some. That's a lot of internal corruption reasons why. But, you know, the why they had it have it so late. But they, you know, now they're moving it back a little bit. They want to, you know, for whatever reason, it serves their purpose. But after this election, after the primary, you got all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of corner space becomes available when all these guys take their signs down because they lost. Well, then you guys got some ideas? You're going to start penetrating the Matrix, do you?
No, I don't know what that is. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that's like, you know, okay, yeah, he's not going to tell you nothing. You know, I'm lucky I got him in to talk about this one. The point that you can get from that, and you'll see it on Freedom's Phoenix, go to Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com, and I'm sure by tomorrow morning you'll have some stuff up, you think?
Yeah.
I think so, too. And you'll see that, and you'll go, this is just how we roll. This is how we penetrate. You want to have – I'll tell you what, you know, the politicians that talk to us, there's one of two things. One, they can, you know, be our buddies, want to be nice, you know, try and get endorsement. Well, that's not going to happen. You know, I'm like still voting. But the one thing that they really want to avoid, making us angry. Don't give me an opportunity to make you my poster child for statism. Yeah, you do that, man. It's just, oh, we get a lot of good on a lot of different issues. Well, it looks like Jim Deacon's here. So when we come back, we'll go ahead and give you an inside look on one of the most watched races in this country. John McCain, the Republican presidential nominee in 08, is now running for his life for his seat for the U.S. Senate against former Congressman J.D. Hayworth and Jim Deacon. And they really, one side wants them to stay in, one side wants them to stay out, and I'm not sure why, but they're on me. So we're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. But I want you to be in the mindset. This stuff happens everywhere. I mean, it's like this all over the country. You know, I was talking to Larry Pratt last week, and he's like, what the heck is the NRA thinking coming out there thinking of endorsing Harry Reid? Well, like, well, because it served their purpose, whatever the heck that was. You know, you don't look to these organizations, these guys, their endorsements don't mean anything. Because, heck, I remember in 1994 when John Kyle first ran, you know, Kyle and McCain got this immigration plan finally. You know, yeah, they're all immigration now. But I remember Kyle, you know, he voted for the crime bill, and what'd they do? They gave him an A-plus rating. A-plus. Assault weapon ban, 10-round magazine. A-plus. Why? Because that's what they're just national Republican apologists. Well, we're gonna get into, you know, a libertarian grilling of a Republican running for U.S. Senate. We'll see how he holds up. You stay right there.